Susan Ashton from a few years back off of a great release of various artists called Songs from the Loft. And that tune, a great message for all of us to heed. Seek first, WWIB. Think of Matthew 6:33, that wonderful, wonderful passage in the Sermon on the Mount that usually is subtitled, Do Not Worry, right? From Matthew 6:25-34, with verse 33 saying, Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for each day has enough trouble of its own. Some pretty brilliant advice there, Jason Cairns, from Jesus himself, huh?
Indeed, yeah, that's for sure. I was just journaling this morning about my own tendency to get sucked in and worry about the future. So
sometimes the great, you know, those great, I mean, I just love that passage. Those 10 verses are so rich and so good. I mean, and just the Son of God just had it figured out, you know, as you would expect, the one through whom and for whom all things are made. So,
right. Yeah, and I'm glad he had it figured out, because a lot of times I don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, we got a couple of different things to throw your way this morning. See if we can cover them all in 5 to 6 minutes. First of all, thank you to Sarah in Taylor, Wisconsin, who says, thanks for what you all do. I love listening to Jason and Mark. Now, loved is L-O-V-E-D. Hopefully she still loves listening to us. But anyhow, she says, and every day you read the book of Luke for the month of December. She says, then you'd talk about it on the radio and you made the Bible more interesting. It was like we were having a Bible study. I don't always like to read, she says. It's hard for me, but you make it fun, so it helps me to read the Bible. I cannot think of a better compliment she could give us.
Oh, man, no kidding. As I'm listening to your words, I'm smiling. I agree. And really, I think that desire to have the Bible come alive, right? And
yeah.
I think so much of that happens in community when mm-hmm. we are interacting with the Word. And
amen.
So, and you and I have said this repeatedly, but sometimes it feels like it's you and I in the morning. And I'm so glad when
yes.
folks reach out and let us know what they're hearing.
We are going to, I'm going to dig in and find at least a CD for Sarah. So, again, she was a generous supporter of the ministry as well financially and asked for one of our gift offers here during January. But thank you. Yeah, those words of encouragement, whether text on the listener line at 715-396-1670 or a letter like this, so appreciated. And thank you so, so much, Sarah. I appreciate that. In the meantime, second round is... I think there's a new book coming out from Brian Fickert, and I messaged you about it. I think it's called Becoming Whole. But as I think about this wholeness thing, and it's something that you talk as much or more about than anybody I know, it just seems to me, is there a link between being human and being whole? And I want to just briefly say, I think Jesus was certainly the most divine, but I want to argue he was the most human, and we maybe fall short on that, and I think he was probably the most whole. I don't know. What do you think? Like, is the idea, the quest to be whole, but also to be fully all we are intended to be as human?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Again, that's maybe a buzzword for me, and I'm certain friends maybe get a little tired of the idea of wholeness. But when you think about wholeness, for me, it's this idea of being who we were created to be. And I think Jesus showed that perfectly, right? I mean, he was the most human person that has ever lived. And we, I think, can learn a lot from him in that. I think it was Athanasius, who was an early church father, who said, the glory of God is a human being fully alive. And I think that's precisely what we see in Jesus, who was, you know, so completely integrated, so completely human.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to know what it looks like to be human, we need to look at him.
Yeah, very good. All right, good. And finally, this morning, my maternal grandmother, my mom's mom, had a huge influence on me. I mean, she just, I would wish this for everybody, that you could have somebody who just loved you. And she was that for me. And she loved the Lord, but she loved her kids and her grandkids. And she had three of us, of whom I got to be spoiled because I was the oldest of the three. And I'm just remembering her listening to a Christian radio station. She's the person who, she did custodial work till she was 76. She gave $5 a month to her Christian radio station, at least that I was aware of. She gave what she could. And she probably bought me too many Danish, gave me too many cans of soda. But she was just the sweetest, most wonderful woman, and I wish I could introduce you. And even now, as you can wrestle with doubt or what have you, I just go back and I just know, even being in Christian radio, I feel like it is tied to her. And I think about Paul writing to Timothy and talking about his mother and his grandmother. And so I kind of struggle this morning. I'm like, hey, is it okay to have as the question of the day, like, tell me about your grandma and her influence in your life? Because I'd be interested, what was your encounter and experience with either of your grandmom?
Yeah, you know, that's one of those conversations that could take hours, I think. You know, my grandma lived a block away from me growing up, and I spent a lot of time at her house. Sitting on the couch watching Little House on the Prairie with her. Like you, my grandmother spoiled me terribly. I often thought that I was her favorite, but I wonder if all of her grandkids felt that way. You know, just because she was so interested in me, she was always present with me. She taught me a lot about Jesus, not only in the words she said, but in the way she lived. And yeah, I miss her a lot. And so I think that, thank you for raising that question this morning. I think it's a good one.
All right, we're going to go forward with it then. We kind of start things off and see what happens. Build a snowman. Yesterday was a lot of fun with Brushes with Fame. We actually re-aired yours later in the day as well, Aaron Campman. So
cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Our question of the day, I got it up at the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook page with nobody commenting yet, but hey, you're just waking up, getting the sleep out of your eyes. The question is, tell us about your grandma. What was or is special about her? How has she influenced your faith? My grandma would have been 111 today. I had one grandma. You know, grandmas get their names, interestingly. Like, we had Grandma Chucky. Why was she called Chucky? My dad's mom, because she had a bird named Chucky. But she died when I was six, so I really don't remember all that well. My other grandma, she lived until 2001. She had dementia the last 7 years of her life, though, so it was visits to the nursing home. And the thing was, though, I knew with that, like, there's things that were in her memory, like you could do the Lord's Prayer or some different things. But she was just so sweet, so loving, and had such a huge influence on me for the faith. I think about Paul's words to Timothy about his grandmother and mother. So how about you this morning? Tell us about your grandma, what you love about her, and how she influenced your faith on the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook page or the listener line. Give us a call, 396-1670, WWIB.
Good. Talking about grandmas, I'm going to try and keep this short, but how can you keep talking about grandma short? My grandma was everything to me. We were best friends. She passed away 6 years ago, and the last 5 years of her life, 6 years, we talked every day. We gossiped, we laughed, we cried, everything. When her last days were coming near, I was with her. She had other sons and daughters. My dad would pop in, but nobody else. She asked me not to leave her alone when she was dying. I stayed with her for 4.5 days. It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But we talked. When she couldn't talk anymore, I talked to her. I read her the Bible. We held hands because she knew I was there. And that last night when she passed away, I was with her. There were lightning streaks, and I told her, I said, you know, they're putting on a show for you, Grandma. And I held her hand, and she struggled the last 2 days. And when she passed away, I had to leave the room, and I went back in and sat with her until the funeral people came, and it was so peaceful. I said, Grandma, you're with God now. You're with Grandpa. And I just loved her to death. I, too, miss her every day. She was such a big part. All I can say is people cherish your grandmas and grandpas. You never get them back. Thank you for this episode, all your episodes. Okay, take care and God bless. Bye.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, you got me tearing up here as well. I tell you what, I totally, totally agree. Again, my grandma has been gone longer, 20 years, but this is actually her birth anniversary today. She had been 111 today, and So I miss her, but the thing is, I don't know about you. I mean, I just know that my grandma loved the Lord like nobody's business. And she would talk about Israel as God's timetable. She was looking forward to his soon return. And it is with great confidence and hope that I look forward to reuniting with her. We read the Bible together. Like, I, to this day, haven't read the Bible with people. I remember reading Genesis and Job and Revelation and I'm sure the Gospels, but those are the others that I would read out loud. She would read out loud. It was great. It was awesome. So I totally agree. Beautiful comment. Thank you so much, dear listener. Well, our question of the morning, because it would have been my grandma's 111th birthday. She left us 20 years ago, but I'll tell you what, she loved the Lord and she was a shining light. And so anyhow, I'm asking you on the Whip Wake Up Show Facebook page, tell us about your grandma. What was or is special about her and how has she influenced your faith? Caleb, the floor is yours.
Well, so two grandmas. My Grandma Byers died when I was very young. And you ever look back at pictures from someone who's passed and you can just see, just from pictures, it's like, I feel like I know them even though I didn't. And so there's a few pictures we have in photo albums of my Grandma Byers holding me. And it's, I wish I could have met her at an age when I could remember, because there was just so much love that I've seen poured out through my mom, too, the way that she loved on her kids and the way that influenced my mom's life. So I still feel my grandma's love. She was a teacher for many years and just such a soft heart that I saw later in my grandpa as well, too, how that influenced his life. So looking forward to being able to meet her up in heaven. And then my Grandma Swenson is in Iowa. Just got a chance to see her for a little bit. And Grandma, she's one of those grandmas that one of the first things when you come into her home and she gives you a hug, it's, did you eat yet?
Yeah,
that's my grandma. She's,
I think,
just
that's classically a lot of grandmas, right? Yeah.
And so, yeah, grandma's just one of those ones that's always made sure that everyone around her is fed, taken care of, happy. I mean, that she just it's been a privilege, I think, as we've gotten older, to start saying, "Grandma, you sit, and we'll bring the meals, we'll take care of things, we'll take care of the dishes and stuff," and just so again, my grandma just poured a lot into the lives of the grandkids, too. You just knew that you were never a bother, you were never an inconvenience, that she wanted you in her home. And hospitality definitely was a gift for my Grandma Swenson.
But grandmas are the best. My grandma served me way too much ice cream, bakery, and soda, but
don't get me started on my grandpa. We'll do that another day, too. But he always had my favorite chocolate and marshmallow ice cream in his freezer.
It's great. Oh, yeah. Grandparents are the best. Love to hear about yours this morning, especially your grandma today, at least. 715-396-1670. We had a wonderful contribution we played before 7. If you missed it, it'll certainly be included in the podcast. Asking today about your grandma. What do you remember about her? What was or is special about her, and how did she influence you for the faith? The listener line wide open at 396-1670 ahead of the web.
Hi, this is Jennifer, and I'm calling about my grandma. One of my favorite things was is she liked me to come over and go with her to downtown Minneapolis so she could get her hair cut or fixed. She got it fixed. And we would usually eat at the Nankin, which is long gone, but they had excellent Chinese food. And she always took me to Fannie Mae for some candy afterwards. Mm. And while I was there, I was pretty young, probably in upper elementary school, probably like sixth grade or so. And the ladies at the hairdressers would always treat me like I was royalty because I was Margie's granddaughter. I miss my grandma.
I just feel like we're really hearing deep from people's hearts with these comments about grandparents. Hey, so appreciate so many of your listeners chiming in on the listener line at 715-396-1670 and the Whip Wake Up Show Facebook page. As we ask you today, tell us about your grandma. What's special, unique? How'd she influence your faith? And let's get this latest comment.
Good morning. This is Sherry calling from Whitehall. Memories of my grandma. She was an awesome woman. She was a first-generation American, and Polish was her first written and spoken language. She had a wonderful sense of humor, probably because she was born on April 1st, but she always had the biggest heart and the kindest woman I have ever known in my entire life. And she had very few rules, but number one was begin and end each day in prayer. Always, those are some of my fondest memories of staying overnight at grandma's house was always praying in the morning and praying in the evening. And number two rule was no one ever left her home hungry, whether you were family, neighbor, friend, stranger. Mm. You walked through her door, are you hungry? Do you need something to eat? Were her first words. Mm. Everything was, her house was just so full of love always. And she taught me how to figure things out. She obviously was during the Great Depression, and she really made do. There's no such thing as you can't do something. Just figure out how to get it done. If you don't have exactly what you need, figure out how to get it done. But her faith was always in God. That was the number one, and it has inspired my faith to this day. Mm. And I love and miss her always. Thank you. Bye.
Boy, I tell you, this has been, I just love these comments, Caleb. I mean, Sherry in Whitehall, thank you so much. That was just beautiful. And we've got a couple more off the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page. Caleb, you go ahead with the first one here.
So Michelle says, she, speaking of her grandma, has been gone for some time now. When all of us grandchildren were very young, she held huge prayer meetings at their home. I remember the singing and the praying, and people would come to her for her to pray for them. Her strong faith in God was everything to her. We called her Grandma Little. She was very petite, but very strong. We all miss her and Grandpa Jumbo so much. That one comes from Michelle on the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page.
And Tammy also, same place, says, I live close to both my grandparents and great-grandparents and visit them all the time, but the biggest influence from my life was my great-grandma, Kate. I stayed overnight with her every Saturday night during my elementary school age years. She poured her words of encouragement and wisdom into me, which helped me become the strong, confident, kind woman I grew up to be. I have so many fond memories of her. I remember waking up and hearing her reading her Bible and saying prayers. She had a strong faith in God and showed me how it's having a personal relationship with God that's important and not just being a good person. She died a month before my 14th birthday, and I think that had to be the hardest I had ever cried in my life. She was my best friend and supporter, and I'm so grateful I was able to have that relationship for almost 14 years of my life.
Incredible.
Emotional morning here on the Wib Wake Up Show. I got to say a couple more things about my grandma. She would go to Cop's hamburger place, which if people are familiar, the custard. Really, in a lot of ways, I see Culver's as patterned after Cop's. And Cop's had these giant hamburgers, and she'd get those. There was one near her house. Before you'd go to bed, if you'd sleep at my grandma's house, she would, I never heard this before, she'd be like, I'm going to meet you in Candyland. Where should we meet? The Dreamsicles, the Fudgesicles. I mean, it was just this creative idea, and it was so fun and so cool. And so, anyhow, so many great memories. But the bottom line, above it all, I mean, just the love for the Lord and passing that on. So it was 1973. Boy, the Super Bowl was actually played on this day. It was Super Bowl VII. The Dolphins undefeated.
Unbeaten.
And unlike the Patriots, who made it to the Super Bowl and lost to the Giants, the Dolphins finished the deal. They were ahead 14-0, and this is, to this day, one of the more memorable Super Bowl plays. The Dolphins were up, and Kurt Gowdy with the call. Here it goes.
All right, here's your premium on for a 42-yard field goal attempt. Earl Morrowville holding. And this kick is blocked. Your premium has it. Throws a pass up with the ball. It's Mike Bass. He's running away for a touchdown. Mike Bass scores. What a kooky play.
What a kooky play that was. The call from Kurt Gowdy on, I believe, NBC. But
Garo Yepremian, yes. And again, he's this tiny little kicker, and then it's blocked, comes back to him, and he tries to throw a pass, and that huge Washington defense just takes it the other way.
And so Washington's only score, again, Miami does win the game 14-7. They go unbeaten, and to this day, the surviving members of the team celebrate because when the last team to lose gets that defeat. You know,
So again, we've never had a completely, of course, moved to 16 games rather than 14, but never had a perfect season again since those 72 Dolphins.
Yeah, that was, I've got a whole book about called Undefeated about that season.
Well, the most popular diet, according to nutritionists this year at least, is the Mediterranean diet. It's getting some competition,
keto,
though.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, the European Union's Food Safety Agency says worms are now safe to eat. I feel like that would be a good diet because I just wouldn't want to eat again.
I guess.
The EU published a scientific opinion yesterday on the safety of dried yellow mealworms.
Huh.
Put down that hash brown that you're eating. We've got something better for you. Officially, they're called Tenebrio molitor larvae, which really makes it sound more appetizing. And the EU said, hey, two big thumbs up. Researchers said the worms either eat in whole or in powdered form. Just want to see that on the shelf at Woodman's. Are a protein-rich snack or ingredient for other foods. What's your secret ingredient, Sally? Let me tell you. Mealworms. The announcement opens the door in the EU. Thankfully not here. Keep it there. Just like the Rona, keep it there. For the bug-based food market, such as insect-enriched breads, pasta, cookies, candies, and more.
Well, I know. I mean, in the
who's
past...
Who's going to open a business like that?
The UN had said in the past, yeah, insects, fine. And a lot of in the world, people
now,
eating
that. Now, it is true. All around the world, again, yeah. I mean, for crying out loud,
right.
John the Baptist,
sure,
you know, did as well, too.
Locusts and
I'm
honey.
Just saying, I'm not necessarily
right.
big on digging for grubs. But yes, high in protein in the cultures of Africa, Latin America, Asia, and Oceania. Yes, all sorts of bug-based diets.
Yeah. It is different, right?
But I mean, not here, and it's one of the reasons I'm glad to live in this country.
Right, right. It's kind of what you get used to, right? So,
cricket bars, chocolate-dipped grasshoppers, and fried silkworms, some of the delicacies in other parts of the world.
Wow, interesting.
And coming soon to an EU near you.
There we
Thanks,
go.
Europe.
Yes. All right, so this is a story that we saw yesterday, just didn't have time for, but we do today. It's amazing. Bitcoin programmer could be out $220 million because of lost Bitcoin password.
This is nuts.
It
and
is.
And how many times, I can't even tell you, because every app, every website,
yeah.
you have to have a password. And maybe you're like me and might use some different variations and stuff to try to remember. But what do you do? Like, what
yeah.
do you do when you forget? And usually it's just you hit a forgot my password,
uh-huh.
send it to my email, and get it reset. I don't know how many times a year that happens to me. But what if your forgotten password could lock you out of not just a little money, but a lot?
Yeah,
a
it
lot.
Really
this
is
happening to a programmer in San Francisco right now.
And as of yesterday, he was down to two guesses left to figure out. It sounds like a game show, right? But this is real life, real money. Two guesses left to figure out the password on his digital wallet that contains more than 7,000 bitcoins that are worth up to $220 million. I don't understand how Bitcoin works, but anyhow, it's part of an estimated $140 billion worth of tokens that are either lost or inaccessible. The cryptocurrency is currently going through a boom and is up to a record high of $41,946, which comparatively doesn't sound like that much, but Bitcoin blog... analysis estimates that nearly 20% of Bitcoins are permanently lost as the decentralized nature of the cryptocurrency
and
is part of the appeal.
And I kind of understand that, but also so there's no oversight of this at all, which means that Bitcoin a lot of times gets used in some pretty shady stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But users are given private keys. So you have, again, this digital wallet that only you can have, but no record of your password is kept anywhere. So you think, okay, that makes it safe. But the other side of that coin or the other side of
yeah.
that Bitcoin is there's no record of your passwords. So I believe this guy had 10 guesses and he said it has kept him awake at night trying to figure out what in the world, what variation of his password combos that he
yeah.
used. And he's like, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and think, oh, I've got it. Because again, he's trying to unlock what's
right.
worth now 220 million bucks. And he only has two tries left.
This could totally be a movie, right? Can you? I mean, this is real life, but can you totally see this? It would be fascinating. So he's down to two. So
I mean, I guess the spiritual side of this is do not store up for yourselves, lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and dust corrupt. And maybe, again, adding to that, where you can get locked out of your worldly fortune.
Man.
Oh, goodness.
I know. Just going to the Y and locking my lock. I'm glad my memory's still retaining that
Here's
particular
the thing.
Com.
I've locked myself out of my car before, and that can be really expensive
mm-hmm.
if you don't have someone who knows what they're doing to get you back in. But I've never locked myself out of millions
no,
and millions of dollars.
That is something else.